This episode of the Sportsman's Empire is brought to you by Interstate Batteries. Since 1952, Interstate Batteries has been evoking compassion and a trustworthy spirit into the surrounding communities. Interstate Batteries is a mission-driven company fueled by purpose and guided by their values. If you need help locating a specific battery, stop into your local Interstate Batteries retail store and speak with a battery specialist. They even offer cell phone repairs. Interstate Batteries. Outrageously dependable.
If you felt stuck trying to lose weight, you're not alone. Enter Weight Loss by Hers. It's designed to support you in reaching your goals. And Hers now offers access to an affordable range of FDA-approved GLP-1 medications, including the Wegovy pill at its lowest price ever and the Wegovy pen. With Wegovy at Hers, lose up to 20% or more of your body weight when combined with diet and exercise. It helps you regulate your appetite, eat less, and keep weight off. Plus, Wegovy is the first and only GLP-1 available in a pill, so there are no needles needed. Everything is 100% online through Hers. You'll connect with a licensed provider who will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your medication is delivered right to your door, no insurance necessary. And it doesn't stop there. Weight Loss by Hers goes beyond medication by offering access to 24/7 messaging with your care team and tons of in-app lifestyle and nutrition tips like recipes, meal plans, fitness videos, sleep content, and more. Even better, with a range of affordable GLP-1 options, Hers makes it simple to find an approach that fits your needs and your budget, if eligible. You'll get a treatment plan personalized to you and unlimited dosage changes as needed. It's weight loss designed to work with your life. Ready to reach your goals? Visit forhers.com/women to get personalized, affordable care that gets you. That's forhers.com/women. forhers.com/women. Based on advertised cash price for 30-day supply of medication only. Membership required. Fee not included, and billed separately. Weight Loss by Hers is not available in all 50 states. Wegovy is the registered trademark of Novo Nordisk AS. To get started and learn more, including important safety information, Wegovy clinical study information, and restrictions, visit forhers.com.
Welcome to the Range Podcast. I'm Ricky Brule, and with me is Jake Hollywood Iverson. Join us at the Archery Range, where we'll tell stories from the hunt, discuss technical bow shooting tactics and gear, and pick the brains of some of the most successful people to ever shoot a bow. Whether you're about to shoot that X for the win or send an arrow at a trophy buck, this podcast is for you. The Range Podcast is brought to you by Vapor Trail Archery, makers of the best bowstrings money can buy, originators of limb-driven arrow rest technology, and innovators of stokerized stabilizer systems.
Welcome to The Range, everybody. I'm your host, Ricky Brule, and I am here with Mr. Jake Hollywood Iverson and Mr. Glenn Blair. And today we're going to do part three of Arrow Loose Vegas round. And we're going to talk a little bit today about Hollywood's journey thus far as his target journey.
Oh, okay.
We'll talk a little bit about that. We're also going to get a little bit into Hollywood's got some pretty good stories from the Show Me Whitetails Expo down in Kansas City from this past weekend. So we'll get a little bit into that. For us old boys, I've been kind of starting to have some issues with my eyesight and shooting, so we're going to address that a little bit. And then I think we're going to cap it off with some discussion about the float. There's been a lot of questions. A lot of people kind of want to know what's going on, so we'll dive into that a little bit as well. So let's go. Thanks for joining us. All right, here we go.
First scoring net.
I need a release.
Oh. Nice.
You and I both a little south to start.
I switched my bar position too.
Oh, so that's right, you did.
So far not helping. See?
Yeah.
Every time.
Front facing versus rear facing.
I think I shot in the first eight already.
You're a little shaky there, man.
Yeah.
No, you're in a nine. much coffee you have?
Just one. Oh. I'm just, I got 15 more ounces on this bow. So
not a good start for me.
So I'm just putting reps in, man. Let's talk about the Show Me Whitetails Expo with you and Rory down there.
Yeah, what about it?
How'd
Sorry,
that go?
I'm like already wincing. Ooh.
Here, I got the pencil.
I think that's technically a 9. That is not just technically, that is definitely a 9. Nice job, Rick. You beat me on the first end.
Call the ball. Just already leave it up lost, on top of the bale.
Already lost 300. Sorry, I'm supposed to be talking about Show Me Whitetails.
Show Me Whitetails. So going into it, you already kind of knew that it was going to be a little bit of an S show because the weather.
Be a crap show. Well, yeah, so I knew that we were going to have weather. Rory was like, where did this come from? And I'm like, it's been in the forecast, so no surprise to me. But, I mean, personally, I would have just planned on not coming home until Monday anyway, instead of trying to leave right away on Sunday. It was great weather beforehand down there. It was pretty nice, and Missouri definitely knows how to grow them. That's for sure.
Yeah, a lot of big whitetails coming through there.
They got good ones down there.
Is what you're referring to?
Yeah, I'm not referring to the women. And that part you cut.
Okay.
Oh, low.
First shot.
Love being able to show everybody the realities of what this really looks like.
It's like golf when your buddy barely taps the ball on the tee stroke.
Yeesh. I think I was shooting a 90-pound bow.
Just feels like 90. Yeah.
So you guys get there, set up right next to MFJJ.
Yep. Josh was there indeed.
So that was good. You guys got to have a lot of good chats with him.
Yeah. Yeah, that was it's definitely...
Did you bring the bag of hammers with
good
you?
Time. Bag of hammers. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's right. Rory did make a comment back to them because... he's like, man, can you guys quiet down over there? Because they're setting up gray light blinds. And he's just pounding away over there. Or, like, basically, they're passing it forward at that point.
Yeah.
Oh, another 9.
Oh, okay, there's a gap there. Look at that. It's just...
Yeah. Just like me.
As much as I want to give it to me, I can't.
Yeah, like you said, I knew it was going to be a crap show even running down there. Mainly because it's Rory's truck, and I swear on my life that if Rory has to drive anything, it's not going to go well. And sure enough, like, had to pull over once because the air intake blows off, and then that's southern Minnesota. Then in Iowa, the window blows out because there's too much wind on the camper while we're driving. Get there late as hell. I mean, yeah, finally set up Friday, and that was all good, but... I'd say that the show was good, though, like I said. They definitely grow big deer. Kind of jealous of that. We don't have that here. I mean, we do, but, yeah, just seems to be, like, not as consistent as down there. But they have good egg fields, I'd say. I think I got my swagger back.
I held way too long on that one. I should have let down.
I noticed that for you. I shouldn't be noticing that.
I like flinched too at one point. I'm like, just let down, dude. Oh, can't do it. Good shot.
Thank goodness you're getting reps in.
Right? And I'm only at 60 pounds right now.
You need it.
That's what happens.
That's what I looked like when I first started off this target season with, you know, a few ounces. I'm like trying to hold the bow, and it's like, no.
Yeah.
This needs some practice. Yeah, so Grizzly Cooler's there. They live in, like, northern Iowa, and they tear out early because they heard about the storm that was coming. So we're there a little bit longer than we had planned because we were helping them pack up their huge booth. And we knew there was a storm, and Rory's like, oh, we're going to go home. And I don't know, man, I would just stay another night because we knew the snow was coming. Even in Kansas City, it was snowing.
Oh, it did, huh?
Yeah, it was snowing there. They're all freaking out, you know.
Oh, yeah, they can't handle that down there. Yeah.
It's snowing. I'm like, oh, whatever. And I guess to cut it somewhat short, it started getting way worse in northern Missouri. And me being from the north here, I'm like, come on, Rory, drive faster. Like, what are you scared of? But I do know his truck has those big mud tires. Do you not grab your arrows?
Yeah, let me just pull my arrows real quick here.
It's a lot easier to get the next round in.
Yeah, exactly.
So focused on cameras.
Or he could just say he shot those again.
Go back down. If they're good ones, I would maybe went that way.
Yeah, exactly. But, yeah, thankfully Rory did not speed up after we stopped for gas and snacks. And eventually we hit a bridge deck with full ice, and that truck and trailer was completely sideways. I seriously thought we were going to be in a quick world of pain, or not, depending on how things shook out. But and thankfully, like Alex Scarrow, he was behind us, and he's able to not run into us either when we started sliding. And very, very next exit, that's when we called it.
Oh, this is bad.
Yeah, I got the text from you saying, you know, oh, we're not going to be in tomorrow. And so I was like, okay, that's good. Assuming you guys were just going to stay in Kansas City. And then I got a second text from you. We just about died and we're done. And I'm like, oh, okay.
Well, when I get it, like, Rory has another trip, so he's trying to just, like, get home to pack for that. But I'm just like, dude, take another day. Like, there's no rush to get home. Yeah. I wish I was kidding, but, yeah, that was a freaky ordeal. Rory and I, as soon as we pulled over, we were just shaking like I was in a shoot-off against Glenn here. Like, or shaking like you at full draw. Here or there.
Yeah.
I mean, we were just completely shook. I mean, that was insane. I checked my watch and it was like 125 beats per minute.
Oh, geez.
I was cruising.
Good shot.
I was worried. I'm like, man, he's going to throw an 8 now that he doesn't have me standing in front of him.
Nope. Nope.
He's like, I ain't going to let something like that get to me.
Yeah.
That's part of his mental ninjury.
Yeah.
I need the pressure. Spent another night. Had some snow come in on me while I was sleeping. That was cool.
Really?
Oh yeah. Yeah, the winds were so heavy that they're blowing through, cuz he has a pop-up. A pop-up camper. So
that's what you get in a pop-up?
Yeah. It wasn't the warmest that night. Yeah. So that was pretty brutal, but whatever, we're alive. And then like right after that, the next bridge, when we pulled over and stayed for the night, that's when there was like 4 car pile up, then a 6 car pile up, and a couple semis pile up. I'm like, man, we got off at the like perfect time. Like, I thought for sure Rory being Rory is just gonna be like, oh, we're pushing through it. Well, when that truck almost sent it, he's like, nope, this is for real. He's like, he literally goes, your life is in my hands, and we just about lost both of ours. I'm done. I'm like, oh, wow, okay, sweet. So,
happy for so you he to does acknowledge.
Yeah, exactly.
That my life is a concern.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, oh, so he does care. No, I'm just kidding. But,
well, that was good.
Pretty nuts. We had some late nights playing bags in a parking lot, a fairly empty parking lot, cornhole that is, underneath a lit up palm tree. I don't know if Alex sent you any of those.
I saw that. I saw it on the story. Rory never engages on social media, but when there's a photo posted of him with a light up palm tree,
you must.
Yeah, I mean, I'll be honest. I had a little bit of FOMO. It would have been fun to be down there, and especially with Alex down there too. And
yeah.
Oh gosh.
FaceTime you guys got with Josh, and
I'll be honest. I think we had FOMO that you guys weren't there too. Fear of you guys missing out. I mean, it was not like a super super busy show. It was fun getting to see retail people and letting them put a face to the name, and met some dealers as well. There's a lot of dealers there. If we do end up going back, total missed opportunity. I know Rory right before we left was asking if I wanted to bring my bow, and I'm like, oh, forget it. Like, there's probably no spot to shoot. And when we pull in there, I mean, it's 100-something yards of open.
Oh, really?
Asphalt. And then not only that, it's a stockyard. Like, they have bull riding there or something like that once in a while, or barrel races. So they had this huge mound, probably as big as this building, of dirt. And I'm like, Rory, we totally, like, totally crapped the bed on that one. Like, should have done it, because we could have been sending bombs. Like, right. Just bring a 3D target or bring a big block target, and we could have just been lobbing 100-plus yard shots like we're Josh Hubbs.
Oh, I cut the line, dude.
Got it. Got a 9 over there.
No, shot my first 8.
8?
Took a lot more ends this time.
For this being a 298 right now, which is really sad, it looks really clean.
Ricky's shooting good.
Yeah, Rick's on it.
Yeah, I'm embarrassed to admit it, but it was my peep.
The peep angle.
So now I've got to figure it out. Right?
I mean, well, yesterday it started getting better, you know, so I think part of it was, you know, just some of the repetitions and all of that. But I think my peep still not being aligned properly, because now my sight picture is so much clearer.
That's the difference between that PXS and the podium, though. The PXS is designed such that it will, even if it's misaligned slightly, you'll still get the full picture, right?
Yeah.
I think that's the big difference between those two peeps, the design change.
It's just, I'm able to align better. I think I was just seeing an oblong shape through my peep, and now it's like a lot clearer. And that brings us to our next topic,
good segue.
Archery eyesight, which I don't want to take the title away, but Dudley just dropped a podcast episode this morning on the Knock On podcast about archery eyesight, and we'll talk a little bit more about that in a minute.
Yup.
Sounded good.
We'll take it.
Yeah, I'm worried about that first shot.
I think that's a dirty movie down there. Oh, yeah.
When Dudley dropped that episode, gross. I immediately got excited because I've been struggling with my eyesight a little bit more recently. And I'm happy to say that part of it was my peep not being aligned properly.
That could help.
It was less about alignment. It was that I had the wrong... I had installed my peep on the 45 degree when it should be 37. And Glenn and I were kind of talking a little bit about it this morning. And I was shooting yesterday, and Frank pointed out that my peep looked like it wasn't straight. And I was like, blah, 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 I don't have time to mess around with it right now, so I'm just going to let it go. And so as Glenn and I talked about it a little bit more. So anyway, as we're talking, we're looking at the charts on the specialty website, and I'm like, I need to be in the 37 degree slot. So I'm hesitant to make the switch because we're just getting ready to shoot, but I'm like, I'm just going to do it real quick. And it's certainly proven to be part of the issue.
Groups are good.
That's not cutting yet. So I got X, 10, 9. But
very
this
good.
Is like...
You're slaughtering me.
Way better than what I was shooting before. I had this one flyer here that I got lucky on, but... You know, it's just one of those things. There's so many things to pay attention to. And I was looking at the wrong things. Or not the wrong things necessarily, but it made me kind of forget some of the important things to be aware of.
So Rick can see again.
Yeah, and just
that's the segment of this.
Yeah, and so for all of you, you know, old timers out there, Glenn raised his hand. As I was saying, I learned a lot in that episode, and I think I may, depending on how things go, I'm still kind of struggling to see a little bit. And so there's a lot of good tips and pointers in that podcast episode. We'll talk a little bit more here when we get done with this end. Nice.
It's stuck in there sideways. It might be 297.
I'm starting to get like really anxious. Like I just want it to be done.
Because you're shooting so good that you're like anxious?
No.
Sorry to ask a question while you're full draw. Don't bother.
It's more just like, it's that the whole thing about, it's the biggest challenge for me when it comes to shooting these, is just like getting over the...
Staying in the game.
Having the patience to like keep going and like wanting to see the end result, like right now.
Like we talked about before, it's that whole patience, trying to make it through the game and trying to keep your head in the game.
Yeah, that it's is tough. By far my biggest challenge, is just sticking with it.
That's hard.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's why I'd never shot paper for the longest time. I couldn't do it. Oh, that's a little better.
Nice. This is a little worse.
Jeez, I thought this one was in no man's land up here somewhere.
No. Great. Man, your eyes are hurting, man.
10-10X.
So do you use a verifier at all?
Nope.
What?
Not yet.
Really?
I don't even use corrective lenses.
Goodness. I fought that for a long time, yeah. So that, you know, I'm quite a bit older than you, and
two
is
a verifier.
Trying to figure out the whole eyesight thing myself, and ended up going smaller peeps and all kinds of different stuff to try to be able to see my pin. And finally pulled the trigger on a verifier, and it's made a lot of difference. Mm-hmm. Now I can see the pin, and I can see the target.
Yeah.
And so.
And that's why I'm trying to get a stack it, because.
That'll be the ideal setup.
I've got all the clarifiers, which do me no good because I don't use a lens.
Yeah.
So I want to get the stack it so then I can get the verifiers.
Do you see the pin pretty clearly?
The pin is clear.
So then yeah.
But it's just I'm having to switch my focus back and forth between pin and target.
Right.
And which is exactly what a verifier will help to fix. And I haven't had a problem doing it before, but because of the, you know, the muscles in my eye deteriorating as I age, which is what they talked about in the podcast, Dudley. And I can't, it's slower focus back and forth. It takes a little bit longer, so then you're holding longer, you know, which could explain some of the shakiness.
If you're having trouble seeing the target more so than the pin, then it'll be a clarifier. Even though you're still not shooting a lens, you'll probably need a weaker clarifier to clear up the target if your pin is clear, right? Mm-hmm. What you might find though is once you put that in there to clear up the target, it might blur your pin, and then you might need a verifier. If you're running a stack it, you'll be able to use both, right? So you might have to try a bunch of combinations to see what gives you the best clarity.
So what is the recommendation or the school of thought when it comes to this? Should you be shifting your focus from pin to target, back and forth, or should you be focusing on one or the other?
So I look
and then hoping that the other, or not hoping, but having, you know, using, like if you're focusing on the target and your pin is just a little bit blurry, is that what you want to be doing, or do you want to be?
That's where I'm at, right? My pin is not perfectly clear, but I can see only one now, which I had trouble with. I saw multiples without the verifier.
Yeah.
So for me, what ends up happening is now I don't really have to look at the pin anymore. right? It just kind of self-centers. So I just draw back and I try to get the pin in the gold, right? But then I'm just concentrating on the target, trying to stay in there and let it float and just make my shot process, right? So, so that, I'm sure I'm looking back and forth, right? Unconsciously, but I don't, I'm not really thinking about that whole process, right? So it's just trying to get everything aligned and go right. But I'm shooting pretty low magnification on my scope. So I'm considering going up to a 6X, right? And that, we'll see how that goes. And if I can see even better, it might make that easier too, right? So.
Yeah, definitely some things to think about. And I'm not, I'm only about halfway through that podcast episode. You know, and so far they're just getting into talking about, you know, a eyepiece that is specific to archery that is only for one eye, and the way that it's designed is so that it sits inside here so that it doesn't interfere with your string coming across. And then they talk a lot about, or they dive into talking a little bit about how in order to use that system, you also have to kind of open up your stance just a little bit because you have to turn your head more. So then they recommend opening your stance a little bit and getting used to shooting that way so that you're looking more forward. This way. And so that's interesting to me. I feel like I would want to take the approach of trying to put the lens into my peep and into my scope housing as opposed to wearing an eyepiece. But at the same time, I imagine you get to a certain point where your vision is degraded enough where maybe now that doesn't work for
you. Well, but you've lived your whole life not wearing glasses like I did.
Right.
And so that transition to try to shoot with glasses on, I couldn't do it. It just, I mean, I talked to the optometrist about making special glasses and, and that sort of thing. And he said, yeah, it can be done, but it's, you know, not going to be perfect. And so far my vision is good enough, right? I can still get away with lenses in my equipment and see pretty, pretty well. So, and, you know, if you'd been like, somebody like Jim Vang, who's worn glasses his whole life, pretty much, I think. And so he shoots with his glasses on. It's just second nature to him for him, right? So that, you know, that's probably got some effect on which direction you go at some point anyway and how serious you get, right? But so, I mean, for me, shooting with glasses on, I still can't do it. I've tried a bunch of times and I just, it's just not going to work for me. So
My buddy Charles is struggling with that right now too, about with his eyesight, and he's got corrective lenses now, and I, and it's something that I'm going to have to do at some point. You know, I know that I don't have 20/20 vision and I would like for it to be better, but you know, I've considered LASIK too, and then I've had, I get mixed, you know, I've had some people say it's great and some people say, well, I've
it will be great
like three times,
right, for a period of time, and then you know, Scott, he had LASIK a while back and, you know, had 2010 or whatever it is, vision, perfect vision pretty much, but you know, it's been 20 years or so and now is just got to wear glasses again, you know.
Well, let's get Hollywood back in here before he left. Gets sits down at his desk and starts answering emails and phone calls.
So we're talking about verifiers, I think. I don't know.
Yeah, I think we've kind of gotten through that conversation now. But if there's anything that could be said about any of that, it's not to neglect the clarity and the alignment of your peep. Because I was going down some rabbit holes that I didn't need to go down.
That's an easy thing to do when it comes to that subject, too. I was there.
I'm not trying to be a salesperson, but I feel like just about everybody could actually benefit from a verifier.
I know I could have way before I actually used tried one. I could have probably been 10 years using one before that.
Well, going back to the try it before you buy it with your dealer. I feel like most dealers should have them, but that's definitely something you need to try before you buy. But it's amazing. Like, because I know, like, I've had glasses, I think since I started shooting, or I started shooting just before, and the pin was just a little bit fuzzy, and I didn't really know what was going on. And finally threw in a verifier.
Well, if you're not into that, right, you just don't know any better, right?
Yeah. And it definitely helped me. Oh, I threw another nine.
I had lots of them. A bunch.
And then I'm excited to get a nine. An X, 10, 9.
I'm going to have a pitiful X count.
Same here. I think I'm at like 8. It's really bad.
Two more ends. Yeah, I agree. And, you know, now it helped me to pay attention to what Glenn and I talking about it. And I was focusing on it as I was shooting. And I definitely, my focus is on the target. And then my pin is just a little bit out of focus. It's a little bit fuzzy.
But is the target pretty clear?
Target's clear.
I think I actually kind of like having a fuzzy target, at least for paper. I did bring all my clarifiers with, and I might play with it, because stronger the power too, it's gonna lessen the like magnification power.
Right.
And so I kind of want.
And the light gathering too.
Yeah, I kind of want more power, but I could really care less about how clear the target is on paper.
What is the recommendation though, as far as that goes? Should you be focusing more on your pin or on the target?
I only focus on the target.
Yeah.
Okay.
Despite it being only blurry. I can't make a shot right now to save my life.
The last one looked way left.
Mine?
No, mine.
Oh.
Yours just kicked. Glenn, you're in there.
Yeah,
you're it is.
Yeah, mine is way left.
It didn't look that good.
That didn't look good.
A little high, maybe, it looks like.
No.
Crazy.
Dude.
X, 10.
Thought I was going to make it.
Going to pile on the X's right at the end here. Maybe get to double digits.
Yeah.
No, I don't think I have enough shots left to get to double digits.
Wouldn't be around by me if there wasn't an 8 in there.
I have one, too. Oh, I have two. Almost a 7.
I just keep dropping nines. Like
almost a 7.
So then the last thing we wanted to talk about is just kind of an update on the float. Since we started to send them out, we got a good chunk of them out, and then we kind of ceased the operation a little bit because we had some dealers out there that were identifying a few things where they weren't engaging properly. And so we identified a problem with the production run was not of the same quality as our original prototypes and our testing units. And so we had to make some changes to our assembly process. And so we are actually spending a good amount of time on each unit.
Yeah.
Ensuring that each one functions properly with our hands. And also checking the weight of the spring on each one to ensure that it falls within a certain threshold. And so from here on out, we've actually had a handful of them come back to us so we can fix them and repair them. And then we're shipping them all back out. And so from here on out, anything that's shipped within the last week, actually 2 weeks now, will function properly.
Assuming and flawlessly. They set it up correctly.
As correct. Because well. We have had a few people that needed some pointers on how to properly set it up.
I feel like that always happens for every company too. First run.
Yeah, I mean,
everyone has something. It's happened to Dial. Nice shot, Glenn. Nice finish. It's happened to Excel. It's happened to UltraView. I mean, everyone has issues on the
especially with mechanical stuff, right? It's just bound to happen.
Yeah. It's good to know that we're not alone in that, but at the same time, obviously we don't want that to happen, and it's not our intention. But what matters is that we're transparent about it and that we circle back around and fix it. And then communicate
properly. everyone can see it works, and you can get it to run and function. It's not like we made a smoke and mirrors product and said, we promise it works, but only if. And look at that, he hits an X on the last
shot.
Yeah,
and the rest dropped down.
Bada bing, bada boom.
Yeah, nice. Like, it will work. You just need to make sure your machinist hits his mark.
Yeah. Yeah. It's
generally a good thing.
And it is amazing how, you know, we, again, it's such a simple product that it doesn't seem as though you would, or feel as though you would need to put a lot of time into ensuring its functionality.
Another one.
Somebody's closer.
That's, wow, dude, nice shooting. Wow, good job, guys. Finish strong. Well, that is definitely my best score. I'm no longer quite as embarrassed as I was on our first round.
Took me out again, I'm pretty sure.
Only hit 14X and 295. Wow.
Maybe not.
That's pretty bad.
X count's going to suffer. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9.
Oh, SD card full.
Oh, really?
It was running, though. I don't know how many times back, though.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6.
Wally's
that's still recording
at the
anyway.
Ground here.
Almost, yep. Lay down on the ground.
Oh, my back.
5, 6, 7, 8, 9.
Oh.
So, 9X, 291.
And I had fat shafts like 80 times the size of yours.
Same exact outcome. I shot 288, 9X. So, you beat me by 3 again. Yeah, you shot well.
Yeah, I'm pretty happy with that. While he's focused on you laying on the ground.
Yeah, my back's a little sore. And I have a whole night of shooting yet.
Oh, this is a nice warm-up. Only 30 arrows.
I need to pull out.
All right, everybody. Well, thanks for joining us. That concludes this episode of the Range Podcast, our Arrow Loose segment. That is our 300... Vegas round part 3, and I'm pretty happy with the way that I shot. I think you guys did really well also.
Salvaged an okay round, I guess.
Yeah.
Towards the end, I shot okay.
We really didn't talk much about your journey, Hollywood, but you've got a big shoot here coming up today, don't you?
Tonight. Tomorrow, and then I think I'm out for a couple weeks again. Then another one.
So what is it that you got going on?
Tonight's a 5-spot state shoot and then state tournament, and then tomorrow is a state Vegas shoot. And then Vegas is next week that I'm not going to. I don't have the money to fly out there and not gonna lose it all. So yeah. Two shoots tomorrow, one shoot tonight. Both 60 arrows both days. So
nice.
Yeah.
And I'm I'm trying to figure out how to talk about this because it's kind of I don't know, we were just in the middle of the shoot, we were interrupted and we were given some news of somebody close to the archery community here in our area. His name is Tom DeCourcy. And he was very beloved here at Vapor Trail. He would stop in quite often and bring us chili and turkey sticks and all that kind of stuff. And he has been in the space in the area for a very long time. And we just learned that he passed on Monday.
He actually was the first person outside of my dad to ever help me with a bow. So that one definitely hits, but yeah. Hence the lack of excitement today, I think, out of me. I had a lot of gas, and then that call really just kind of crapped it all out of me. So,
yeah, I'm sure you'll be able to notice. There's a noticeable shift in your mental state. But yeah, I mean, it's very sad, and we just want to say, we're praying for his friends and his family and the archery community. Has definitely lost a legend. So
for sure.
May you rest in peace, Tom.
You're here.
And with that, we're going to pack up our bows and arrows.
And go to the state tournament.
And we're, yes.
There you go.
And tour. Thanks a lot, everybody.
Peace.
Vapor Trail is now offering an exclusive discount to the Range Podcast listeners. Enter promo code TRP15, that's TRP15, at checkout for 15% off VTX bowstrings and Vapor Trail and Stokerized branded t-shirts, hats, and other gear.